Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk about nature and being out in nature and just all kinds of things around here that a lot of us may not know about. Genovese is in this morning. I don't know quite how to... I was going to say your poetry on the trail, your journaling, your hiking, your paddling. You're just... You're just kind of miss outdoors or
something. I know. A combination of arts and nature is really my favorite intersection there.
I first met you when you were working at River Rock Outfitter downtown.
Yeah.
And we did some fabulous shows. And we'll get into some of this with journaling and some of the different things. You just have... You approach, you know, nature and out and kind of the outdoors in kind of a different way than others might.
I do. And I think back when I worked for River Rock Outfitter, kind of my whole angle was... you can be out in the outdoors, engage with nature in a slower, more mindful way. There's nothing wrong with going out and capturing all the views and trying to earn as many trail badges or peak bagging, as some people call it, if you're in the Northeast.
Yeah.
It's just more of a slower approach. I'm always the slowpoke in any group that I'm, I'm always taking pictures or I'm looking up what plants are or I'm trying to take a sketch. And so people, whenever I'm in a group paddling or hiking or whatever, it's, hurry up.
And that's what I liked about you, that you talked about those things of just really just settling in sometimes.
Yeah.
And even if you are a person who does all that, every once in a while, maybe it's not a bad idea.
Right.
Like you say, slow down.
And engage in a different way.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things is to get people outdoors, especially in a place that maybe they are familiar with, and kind of help them change the way they see a little bit and therefore engage with nature a little more deeply. You brought this up with the nature journaling. That's really what changed my focus on slowing down in nature and kind of was my very first permission slip, if you will, to take that break, that it's okay.
When you and I we've done several times now, we've gone out and just and walked and done poetry on the trail, which we will get into as we go along this morning. And it's always so interesting with you because really you can't walk more than 50 yards without Jenna saying, look, there's a, there's whether it's a leaf or a bug or a bird or listen or look at that. And then you've said to me different times, you're experiencing what my family experiences.
Yes. There's a joke among master naturalists, and I'm a Virginia master naturalist as well, where, you've heard of the typical swear jar. Every time you swear, you put money in the jar in your family. And among master naturalists, you have to put money in the jar every time you, without asking, point out the name of a plant or an animal.
You told me the one time, and it was just hilarious of where you did that, and your daughter who said, Mom, no one asked.
Yeah. In fact, we were, our family was just in New York City, and we, of course, wanted to go to Central Park, where the nature is.
Sure.
And there's a wonderful little nature preserve in one corner, and same thing, could not help myself. Look, there's wild ginger. Look, there's, they're like, okay, but we need to get moving.
Now, you mentioned being a master naturalist. How do you get to be a master naturalist?
Yeah, and that's actually a really great question because there's classes, training classes every year, and I think we are about to start the selection of the next class of students, which will, I think, classes begin the end of August. And they run through November or something.
Okay.
It's a once a week class, 3 hours. It's kind of time intensive, but I adore it. It's my favorite place to go and nature nerd with other people. We have monthly meetings, chapter meetings.
So where are these classes? Or where can people find out information?
Yeah, so online, Virginia Master Naturalist, we are the Central Rappahannock Region chapter. So CRC chapter. And you can find out more online from our chapter there. And fill out applications. I don't know if the applications have closed yet. I know we've gotten quite a few that are interested, which is exciting.
That is exciting to know that around here that there are people that want to do that. And this this is such an interesting area because as grown up and as much growth as we have, you don't have to go far in any of the counties, even the city, to be able to get away.
Yeah, and see some really amazing things.
Yeah.
So we've got great things in even in the city of Fredericksburg. We have Downtown Greens, which has this incredible new property that is forever preserved and in a trust, and is a wonderful place to go and see some old growth forest. I very quickly go into nature nerding mode, don't I?
You do. It's wonderful. It's not a problem here this morning.
It's like second nature for me.
How did you get involved in being interested in this? Was this something that your parents passed on to you?
That's a really great question. And I think some of it was my youth. You know, I was a Girl Scout as a kid.
Yeah.
My dad would take me fishing in his canoe. So there is that aspect. But I really, really have to say a lot of it has been my move to King George County. It's just gorgeous. And I remember when my parents would come visit and my dad was just, he would just sit for hours on the patio with his camera capturing the birds or just the fog on the river. I mean, he just really, he taught me how to see. I think it's more like a photographer's sense of vision. You know, he would zoom in and capture water droplets on a plant. And, you know, he'd say, look at that leaf is actually fuzzy, you know, and things that I hadn't really considered or noticed very much. He really kind of trained my eye to pay attention to those things, which incidentally, I think helps me a lot as a poet. Those incredible details make you a stronger poet, that act of noticing.
Well, and King George is just such an interesting county. I mean, it's kind of the gateway into the Northern Neck.
Yeah.
And the Northern Neck, just a fascinating
stunning
place.
Oh, I know. I absolutely some of my favorite places are down in the Northern Neck. Hewlett Point nature area is a favorite of mine, where you can kind of get the feel of the ocean. You're on the Big Bay water there.
I've got to write some of these places down and go and see them.
I'm letting out some of my secrets. Yeah. Secret spots. But yeah, I think the Northern Neck is like just a treasure trove of places to go.
It is, because it's so untouched still.
Yeah.
And you can go and you can see some of those scenes that you just don't see anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's really amazing. And for all those reasons, I think I fell in love with King George, because there is a little of that flavor.
Yes.
And yet, you're so close to Fredericksburg, which is also wonderful, too.
And the traffic into Fredericksburg and the traffic back home, you just don't have to deal with what other people have to deal with if you're talking Culpeper, Orange, Caroline.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I grew up a Maryland girl, so commuting into D.C. for work or whatever. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is like nothing
compared
to Northern Virginia or D.C. Traffic. But
we're going to take a break and come back, and we'll talk about poetry and the trail next. Jenna Vesey is here. Just a lot of great nature talks this hour, and we'll do that when we come back. More coming up on Newstalk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on Newstalk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff already this morning with Jenna Vesey, and just nature is what we're talking about this morning. Poetry on the Trail, I guess there's, well, just to sort of step back, the Poetry on the Trail itself is on the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail, and we will get into that as we go. There's just a lot of, it's a puzzle. It's a puzzle we're putting together.
Yes.
But I learned about this through you, and there aren't many Poetry on the Trails around here. Well, in the state of state of Virginia, there's a few.
Yeah. For a long time, being a poet, I have tried to figure out how can I marry, you know, my loves, basically, in a selfish way. How can I marry my loves? But in a broader way, how can I build community around things that I love? Poetry and nature. And my eye has always been drawn to the beautiful poetry art installations. There are many examples of that. And usually the poems are incorporated almost like sculpturally on the trail or the path, wherever nature and poetry sort of intersect. So you have these beautiful sculptural pieces and the poems engraved or sort of a permanent marker. One down in Norfolk, and we'll get to the Elizabeth River Trail in a minute, but they had a cool Poetry on the Pavement where it was stenciled on the sidewalk, which I thought was super cool.
Isn't that interesting?
Right? Yeah. So, from all of those examples, I was like, okay, there is a way to get poetry on the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail. How would I do that? And, you know, realizing QR codes is the easiest, most accessible way for me to bring poetry. Specifically, it was for the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail at the beginning. It's now Poetry on the Trail is sort of its own entity. But
it's brilliant to be able to, it's so easy to do that.
Yeah, and within, I think, 2 months, we had the trail built. So when I say we had the trail built, there were already benches at Vistas along the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail overlooking this beautiful wetlands. And so I thought, well, let's put QR codes on those benches that are already there. And the poetry part is you use your phone to access the QR code and it pulls up a website that has, or a web page that has a curated poem for that particular bench site and vista. Featuring a poet from Virginia, and then it's got the poet's bio, and then I worked with my local chapter of my Virginia Master Naturalist group to incorporate some, I call them nature notes. You know, what's exciting about this particular bench? What are we looking at?
Yeah.
Is this a beaver-made wetlands? Is the, you know, turn around and there's pawpaws behind you? Are you looking at mayapples in the spring on the ground? So kind of building that conversation between poetry and nature. And a lot of people already are familiar with the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail, which is so wonderful because we can talk more about the trail specifically in a minute. But I have never really seen anybody sitting on those benches.
No.
And I thought, well, maybe people just need an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
So part of this was, you know, utilizing the benches that were already there and the beautiful views and inviting people, giving them a reason to sit down and just take a minute and pause and engage with nature in a more deep way.
It's just so interesting that the poetry matches up to what you're looking for and what you're looking at. And then also, like you say, it includes some information about what's around you. You just feel like it's just so well researched, and they all are different, and that's all fine. But I had the fortune to be there when you kicked it off, and you had several of the poets.
We did. That
came
was
down.
So nice.
Some
yeah.
from I think they were from Northern Virginia, but
right.
they came down and read their poetry, and they were just so touched.
Yeah.
To
yes.
be
in,
to be involved
yeah.
with it.
I think it was to speak from a poets aspect, you know, to go to a reading. It's frequently it's in a bookstore or a coffee shop type setting, or a scholastic setting. And I think it was just such a wonderful break to be in the middle of the woods at this wonderful campsite. And I think it was a wonderful experience to be able to speak your poetry into the wild, as it were.
Yeah.
So that was really fun.
So that sort of just made it come alive. But it's always just been an interesting thing, because when you do see people on the trail using it, it is kind of like they have stepped off the trail and are sort of in another mode.
Yeah, like a little portal.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah, into a much more intimate relationship with their surroundings, I think.
So you set this up, and then since then, there's another one that has come into being.
Yes, so it turns out, not only am I a Virginia Master Naturalist, but I am a member of the Poetry Society of Virginia. So we have a local chapter here. And so through both of those state organizations, I became aware of another poet, Master Naturalist, Kendra Green, who is down in Norfolk, and she's the executive director of the Elizabeth River Trail. And I think both of us kind of came into each other's orbit around the same time, and both had the same feeling, like, I gotta meet this gal.
Yeah.
we're definitely kindred spirits. So that was really fun. We got together. I gave her a tour of Poetry on the Trail. I came down to visit the Elizabeth River Trail. She gave me the grand tour of that trail. And we were like, let's collaborate. Let's get Poetry on the Trail on the Elizabeth River Trail as well. So now Poetry on the Trail is sort of its own thing. And we have two trails, the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail, and coming in August, we'll debut the Elizabeth River Trail as well.
Wait, for you, you've got to feel
thrilled.
You are, because you see some growth in all of this, and that it's not just you interested in this.
Oh no, yeah. I can't tell you the number of people, poets and trail builders I've encountered who are like, oh my gosh, we've got to do this, you know, in our neck of the woods. And so I'm excited to collaborate with and continue to expand.
Oh, I look at some trails around here, other trails around here, and I think
they can
easily do that.
Absolutely.
Because you've got views of things. I think of Mott, some of those trails around Mott's would be just perfect.
They would, yeah, absolutely lend themselves to.
So what the poetry on the right now in King George, that's been on there for almost about 2 years, a year and a half.
I think a year and a half.
Half, but you're going to change it.
We are, yes. So the
which
goal
is another awesome kind of way, because I always thought, well, that's it. You're
right,
there,
right.
And now you'll move on.
Right. Well, so that's part of the I think the beauty of the QR code, using QR codes, as opposed to it's a different experience. You know, you go to a trail and it has the sculpture with the gorgeous poem on there that's there forever, and there's something very beautiful and lasting about it. What I like about using the QR codes is part of this was not just highlighting trails in Virginia, but also highlighting poets in Virginia. So this really allows more voices to get heard and seen and experienced, which really excited me. So every year, the plan is we will turn over a new batch of featured poets. We'll keep the poets who are currently featured accessible via the website. So if you go on the Poetry on the Trail website after August, you'll be able to access the poems that are there now.
Okay, so it's not all lost.
Right. And if you want to see the current featured poets, you'll have to go in person.
I like your thinking.
Yeah.
But that is exciting. Now, as far as the technology goes, is it hard to switch them out like that? I would think it's probably not.
Once the QR code site is built, it's relatively easy to just switch out.
So how many of them are right now? So
currently on the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail, there are 7. So if you, and it's funny, I cherry picked along the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail. We're going to shorten that and just call it DIRT, because that's what the DRHT, that's the familiar name for it, DIRT.
Yeah.
Yeah. So along the DIRT trail, I cherry-picked my favorite spot, which just happens to be in the center of the trail. The Dahlgren DIRT trail is 16 miles long. And so I chose the center section because there's wetlands there.
Yeah.
And there's so much wildlife to see, which is why I chose that. It's a little weird because people go to the trail expecting to find poetry on the trail at the very beginning. We have at Bloomsbury Road, I guess it's called the entrance to the trail,
yeah.
Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail. There's a red caboose.
There's a caboose.
And it's so iconic. People mm-hmm. just, and there's a big, big parking lot. So people just kind of naturally start the trail there. So I kind of like that I've invited people a little further in, but it is it can be a little confusing if you haven't been to the website or you don't already know. No, you need to go to the 610 Indian Town parking lot to access poetry
yes.
on the trail.
Yes. So is there any thought of extent even having more along the trail?
There's absolutely options
okay.
for adding more. We started with 7 because, again, this was a very quick turnaround, just sort of like a proof of concept. And this was Dahlgren was the DIRT was the inaugural
yeah.
trail. Elizabeth River Trail is going to have 10 their trail. Yeah. So there's absolutely potential to expand.
I know this spring, because we went out, that's when the last time I saw you is we met out at the trail and you talked about you kind of had it opened up for entries. To, if you
Yeah, we had a call for an official call
yeah.
for submissions from poets. And we've so those have officially closed. June 1st was the deadline. And we're starting to read through the entries. Poets could select whether they wanted to submit to the Elizabeth River Trail or the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail. So we're starting to,
okay.
to read through all of those and figure out who our next featured poets will be. So we're super excited about that process. And then in August, we will have the new...
Everything switched over.
Yes, the new poets
well,
and poems featured.
How exciting.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that I found it because it adds another... It just adds another layer when you're out, and
yeah.
even if you want to, you don't have to stop at every one. But as you're
right.
walking along, and you look at something, and you just think, I wonder what's here.
Yeah, let's check it
out. Try it out.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing I'm really excited about that if you and I go out, so August 24th is the turnover
okay.
date. We will be featuring audio. So when you pull up the QR
oh, yeah.
code, you'll have the option of you could read it yourself quietly, or you can play the audio if you want to just look at the scenery and hear the poem read by the poet.
Oh, that is very nice.
So I think it's
yeah.
an accessibility feature, but I think it's also just sort of a nice meditative feature as well. So we are using our phones and our technology, and sometimes getting out in nature, the point is to get ourselves away from nature. It's you know, it's a tricky balance.
It is. Because I thought that too.
Yeah.
But I'm always taking pictures anyway, so it's
right.
not like I don't have a phone.
And you saw me, I'm opening up my iNaturalist app, you know, like, well, what is that? I'm pretty sure that's what this plant is, but let's
yeah.
see.
Now,
so, yeah, we're using our phones all the time. I think it's important to just work with them.
Yes, it doesn't intrude.
Yeah.
It's the thing.
Yeah. I think the audio is going to help improve that
mm-hmm.
experience for the users. So
yeah.
I'm super excited. Plus, poetry is meant to be heard. Most
yeah,
of the
right,
poetry
right,
is
and especially if you
heard.
Can hear it from the author too.
Yes, yeah. So I think that'll be a really an upgraded experience.
So Poetry on the Trail, check it out on the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail. I didn't know it was called DIRT, so that's I have
new
learned
one for you.
That's my new
yes,
thing to learn
D-R-H-T,
today.
DIRT, and then somebody figured out, oh, let's pronounce that DIRT.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Jenna Veazey here this morning. We're going to talk about the trail. We have not talked about that, but I thought Poetry on the Trail. That was, I have told you for 2 years, we've got to do a show of talking about poetry on the trail. So we have talked about that. We will talk about the trail itself and also get into journaling this morning before we get out of here with Genovese. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:32.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Genovese, and this morning we are talking really nature, but especially poetry on the trail and the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail in King George. For people who don't know, it is just a terrific trail, and you said it goes for 16 miles.
Yeah, it's a converted, so it's a rail to trail.
Yeah.
It used to be a railroad that went from Dahlgren, hence the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail name.
Yes.
Went from Dahlgren into Fredericksburg. Of course, the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail, as the trail, stops at the county line in King George.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can go there. There's just go to the website. If you Google,
yes,
you can go to the website, and there is you're supposed to get a permit
yes,
to be able to use it.
Absolutely, yes. And the Friends of Dirt, as we said previously, is the acronym DRHT. Gets a little long to always say.
To keep saying it does.
Heritage,
yeah.
Trail. Yeah. So the Friends of Dirt have made it very, very easy to get this,
yes,
permit, user's permit to be on the trail. In fact, I think you can physically be on the trail. There's even QR codes that you can scan with your phone at the entrance of every trail. And you just fill it out online, and I think you're good to go.
And I think it lasts for 2 years or something.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's free. But
yeah, absolutely free to use. The having the permit just helps. Because it is currently a privately owned trail.
Yeah, and it really is, and like you said, there are areas that are wetlands. You see
farmland, wetland.
Yeah, you see so many things, and the trail itself is very easy to either bike or run or walk on.
Absolutely, it's it is flat, it is literally a straight line. No turns, there's no, you really can't get too lost or turned around at all. It's just straight out and back.
I only know, and it's off Bloomsbury Road is the beginning.
Is the beginning, yeah. And that's where the iconic red caboose,
yeah,
is.
Uh-huh. Which is a great, it's a great start, because you do, when you start there are some railroad tracks for the,
yes,
first,
yeah, there
maybe
are,
a half,
yeah,
mile or,
yes,
quarter mile.
Yeah, you share a little bit of the old railroad.
Yeah. And then there's you go farther up, and there's Indian Town Road,
right?
Which is where we talk poetry on the trail. And I think there are a couple of other places. I've never there's
Pullens.
A, yeah,
yes,
I'm not sure,
yeah,
where they're at.
Yeah,
there's a map that has a lot of that.
Yeah, and you can find that on the website as well. The 610 Indian Town Road parking lot is about the middle of the trail. So it starts around, if you say the caboose starts at mile one,
yeah,
610 Indian Town Road is around mile eight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And in lately now, there have been some, the Fredericksburg Area Running Club, there's a couple of races.
Oh, yeah, so it's exciting how many races, how much the trail's used for,
yeah,
races. We've volunteered as a family for years now, and it's always so fun to volunteer for races. I always joke with my husband, who's on the Friends of Dirt board, that I get voluntold, but truthfully, you know, once I'm there, I have a blast. Runners are the best.
Yeah. Oh, they are.
there's no greater blessing than to volunteer for a race, because they're always so grateful that you're there and so sweet. But yeah, I think that's part of the reason I was interested in creating poetry on the trail, I see the trail get used for these incredible races. I see people biking. Mm-hmm. I see people walking dogs, all of which, you know, as a lover of the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail, makes my heart so, so happy. But I thought, is there, you know, another way? Like, what about people who want to sit and, like, as we discussed before, I can't stop talking about nature, and like, yeah, on a walk we'll stop everything to say, oh my gosh, look at the, you know, the May apple that's just starting to bloom, and did you know that the flowers only bloom when there's two leaves, and on and on. Yeah, so I was like, well, what can I do to help people maybe be more interested in enjoying all those aspects of the trail?
I did learn from you that when we get together and do videos, I make sure that I have plenty of memory on my phone. Because we stop at a number of places and look at things.
Yes, we do. You are so indulgent.
So, but, and I was going to mention, because you mentioned your husband. Your husband is, boy, he puts in a lot of time and is legendary as far as there's a number of people that really pour themselves in.
Sweat equity. Our volunteers are just so amazing. Like, people on the Facebook page will, you know, hey, there was a big rain, there's a tree down. It's all volunteer. So volunteers will get out there with their chainsaws and they will clear the tree.
Yes.
And so, yeah, my husband is a part of that, but there are definitely others that help, and we're so grateful for that.
When you have a 16-mile trail and a lot of trees,
yes,
things happen. And really, I can remember one of the races, somebody said that there was a tree down,
right.
Like
yes,
at mile six, the race had started.
Yeah.
And they got there.
Yeah, yeah.
A bunch of volunteers, and they got that tree moved so the runners weren't impacted by it.
Right, right. Yeah.
So there are a lot of people that are really involved, and you can become friends. There's all kinds of ways you can become friends.
Yes,
for the trail.
Be a part of Friends of the Trail. But the thing I hear over and over again is it's the people's trail.
Yeah.
And it's but what that really means is you can feel responsible, mm-hmm, as a user you can feel enabled to help take care, you know, pick up some trash, pick up the dog poop, or mm-hmm, or move the big branch out of the way.
Now, it is around here we have great trails, but boy, that one, when I discovered that one,
it's a real gem.
It is. It's just, and you add poetry on the trail and just other things. It's a great way if you're looking for a place just to get away, or just take your family just for a small hike. You don't have to go very far.
Right. And one thing that we didn't fully flesh out was at the 610 Indian Town parking lot, you can access the campsite. So there are picnic tables. That's where we held the Poetry on the Trail, mm-hmm, event last year. But you know, you could hike in. It's probably a half a mile to hike in
to the picnic camp,
to the picnic tables. You could, you know, mm-hmm, that would be a very doable, easy hike with kids, to have a little picnic there and then hike back.
And with the marshes and all
beautiful,
of that, you see so many different species of animals.
Yeah. Birds and turtles, mm-hmm, and
yep, lots of that. So check it out if you have not.
Yeah,
you won't be disappointed at all in what you'll find with the trail. Genovese here this morning as we talk nature. Journaling is another passion of yours.
I mean,
if we were to write down everything that we have said that is a passion of yours,
so many passions.
There are a lot of them.
But really, they all come together under art and nature. Like how?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So poetry is art. Nature journaling has an art aspect to it, I suppose. Although whenever I teach nature journaling, I try to pull the art back a little bit. If you're interested in art, you can certainly go that route. But nature journaling is not about creating an art portfolio.
Okay.
Which I think gets confusing and scary for people who don't know what nature journaling is.
So what is it?
Good question. It is, at its most basic, taking something to write on and something to write with, and using three tools, numbers, words, and sketching, to record what you see. in the hopes of, I say this a lot, deepening your connection with nature. But really, there's a wonderful advocate and teacher of nature journaling called his name is John Muir Laws, and he's got a great website, and there's more information to be had, and free YouTubes. But he's a real advocate of noticing is an act of love. So, you know, if you think about spending more time in nature, noticing things, it does really create a love for what mm-hmm. you're looking at, or a care for what you're looking at. And I think as a master naturalist, that's so appealing to me, because I'm always looking for how do I get people to care about nature or want to be in nature. And I think both Poetry on the Trail and nature journaling are two wonderful ways to facilitate that.
So I guess when you're doing nature journaling, sometimes you might write a lot. Sometimes you might write very little.
It absolutely.
Just depends what you're seeing and where you're at.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we all have a comfort with one of those three things, numbers, writing, or sketching, right? I mean, some of us are really analytical, and so we might like measuring or comparing or estimating. That's all in the numbers realm. So you might... you might measure something and say, well, here's an acorn. It was vaguely circle. You know, that's using sketching. But you might measure it with your thumb and say it's one knuckle length. Or maybe you have a ruler with you or a tape measure. Mm-hmm. Or you might be more inclined to write real descriptive, like, I don't know what type, I'm really interested to know what kind of acorn is this. You know, it's very interesting to me that the cap comes all the way down, or how come none of these acorns have caps? Like, do all acorns have caps? You know, so sometimes you can write questions in your journal. It's, you don't have to know things to nature journal. That's, which I think is great. You just have to approach it with a sense of curiosity. Like, what can I experience or learn from this encounter? If you want, then later you can go back and you can look it up. I mean, we were talking about not being able to get away from our phones earlier. You know, we can, thank goodness we all have little pocket computers we walk around with all the time, right? So there are ways of finding things out in wonderful guidebooks, or you can go online on your phone. And some people write, feel moved and write poems. Haiku is a wonderful way. That's sort of a nature-based poetic form. That's only three lines typically. There's just all different ways to approach nature journaling. I like watercolors, and I love color and playing with color. I'm not at all proficient in it, so I enjoy bringing those toys along to kind of spice up my journaling. But I have literally done just a circle in my page, and I've just gone on a hike and I have color matched. And then, so I will, you know, I'll pick out in my paint palette a particular color green. And wow, that leaf is this color green, and I'll paint it, and then I'll write what I think that leaf is or where I saw it. And that's literally it. It's, you know, you date it, and it's a way to go back and spark memories of where you were.
So do you go back and read it sometimes?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I will go back and frequently I'll go back and fill in extra data that I can't I'm in the field, so to speak, when I'm hiking, or I like to paint or nature journal when I'm paddling. All of these, and I'm almost always in a family or a group hike situation. And, you know, like I said before,
where's
I'm
Mom?
The laggard. Yes, I'm always in the back. So I never get to finish anything. And so it's really something I tell the people that I facilitate workshops with. It's fine. Nature journaling is not about like a completed project. Yeah. It's just getting something down in the moment to remember. And then when you flip back, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that. You know, we were at such and such. It's amazing how you just need a little something to spark that memory.
You have this little tiny book.
So people will ask whenever I facilitate workshops, you know, so what do I need? And so I'm not even kidding when I say you just need something to write on and something to write with. It doesn't have to be any fancier than that.
Because my thought was at first when you said this, well, I would just probably bring like a clipboard and have a piece
absolutely.
Of paper.
Absolutely.
But you have a very...
Absolutely can. And so I do hike with a backpack that has that exact same setup.
Okay.
But, you know, I just have like a little crossbody purse with me today. And I have, my favorite pen that I always have. Poets never... not have writing implements or pieces of paper. But anyway, I just have like a little mini accordion a journal. And even when I was with my family in New York City, I managed to find some nature and scribble some pictures down to help me remember the trip. I came back later when I had more time in the hotel and I painted some of the scribbles, just that's something that I find fun. That's not something everyone finds fun, but it brings me joy.
Well, and I'm just thinking real practically around here that if I work in the city and I've got a lunch break, I could go to Her Camp Park.
You
and
could
sit on a bench,
absolutely,
and just look up at a tree.
Yes.
Or look at or
my favorite. Look down at your feet. I find the longer you give yourself to just be still and look, something will reveal itself. Hmm. And I think it's probably a lot like interviewing somebody. If you leave that pause, that silence, eventually somebody will.
It's true.
Come back with that thing that you were waiting for them to say. Sort of the same thing when you're out in nature. You've got to give the nature a little bit of time, or maybe yourself a little bit of time to. For that thing to be revealed, and you're like, oh man, I didn't even see that.
Interesting. We got to take a break and we'll wrap it up. Good stuff this morning. I wish we had more time because there's even other things to talk about, but we'll do that another time. Jenna Veazey here this morning as we talk about nature. We'll conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Well, Jenna Veazey, this has been so much fun. We have been talking about this for ages. I have known you for a long time, and you've been... As a solo guest, you have been better than I even ever even imagined. So I'm
Thank
glad
you
we
so
could,
much for having me.
We could talk about this morning. There really are. We started the show by talking about there are so many places to get out into nature here. No matter where you are, you might live in downtown Fredericksburg and you're close to a lot of things. Get out here and we really are fortunate.
Yeah. I know. I think if you get anything from this conversation we've had today, it's go out and explore the nature around you. And one of my favorite things to say is don't forget that we too are nature.
Yeah.
We humans are nature too.
So no, there is. And if you've got questions, you've got places like River Rock Outfitter.
Yeah. Great resource.
Can put you in the right direction, or you know, let you know some of the things you have, and you know, nature journaling is something you don't need a whole lot of, and
nope.
It may be something that you latch on to.
Give it a try. There's lots of information out there, and workshops are in the area. It's a great way to experience nature. Get out and try Poetry on the Trail if you haven't been there. You have until August 24th to experience the current featured poets. So if you haven't heard, haven't seen those poems, I encourage you to go out and check those out.
And check out the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail. There's lots of ways to get involved and even financially get involved and help them out with their work. So come back again. I have more things to talk to you about.
I love talking with you and getting together.
Thank you, Jenna. And we'll talk about poetry on the trail when you come back and journaling. And have a great summer. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Jenna Veazey in this morning. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.